This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome to the radio ministry of the Christian Crusaders on this first Sunday in Advent. Conducting our service today is the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson. Information on how to order copies of today's service will be given at the close of the program. We are happy you chose to worship with us today and invite you to join us every Sunday on this station.
In this Advent season, it is logical to ask, what was Christ's mission on this earth? One answer to that question is, Jesus Christ came into this world to give us back the kingdom that sin took away from us. We're going to talk about that in a sermon today. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, as we have entered into the Advent season, to have our hearts prepared for the coming of the Christ child, we ask that your Holy Spirit will speak to us through the Word. And today, help us to understand what you have done in the bringing of the kingdom of God to earth. Grant, O Lord, that that may become a precious citizenship, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Friends in Christ, we have entered into the Advent season. The Advent season are those four Sundays where our hearts are being prepared to celebrate the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. To meditate on this great thought that at Christmas, God came into the world in the person of Jesus. Now, during this season of the year, then, I'd like to spend four Sundays on questions that pertain to the Advent message. The one that I would like to address to you today is, why did Jesus come? That's a logical question. Some will say, well, I imagine he came to be a great teacher, and that he did. Others will say that he came to become a great moral influence, and that he was. But that is not basically why he came. Here is the first answer. He came to give us back the kingdom which our Creator intended us to have before sin took it away from us. Let me say that again. Jesus came to this world to give us back the kingdom which our Creator intended us to have before sin took it away from us. This he did by removing the sin which separates us from God and makes us the redeemed children of our Heavenly Father. That comes through the suffering, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and is given to all who trust Him, who have received Him as Savior and as Lord. Now let me again begin by saying that the angel brought quite a message to the young lady by the name of Mary. You recall the background of that story. She was engaged or betrothed to her lover by the name of Joseph. They had never known one another sexually, but they were going to be betrothed. Hear this story as it is recorded in the first chapter of the Gospel of St. Luke. Begins with the 26th verse. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Hail, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and considered in her mind what sort of a greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever." Now notice this. "And of his kingdom there will be no end." He is going to establish a kingdom. Why did he come? For the purpose of giving you and me back the kingdom that our Creator meant us to have and Satan took away. But Christ restores to us if we trust Him as Savior and Lord. So Jesus grew up, and when He was 30 years old, He began the ministry of revealing to people who God was like and revealing to them that He was a promised Messiah and the Savior. As they walked over the Galilean land and the land of Judea, that was his message. The Bible tells us that he came preaching the good news of the kingdom. He often said to them, "The kingdom of God is within you." And they didn't quite understand it. The Jews thought, well, he was going to build another kingdom. And it was going to be one that they thought that he would be the Messiah. And if he were, they certainly wanted to be a part of what he was doing. But what they didn't like was that what he was doing was not the kind of a kingdom that they expected to have. They wanted a kingdom that would run over the Romans and give them their political freedom back. But Jesus Christ made that very clear to Pilate one day when standing before him, accused by the Jews that he had claimed to be the king of the Jews and the king of the world, and Pilate said to him, "So you are a king?" And Jesus' answer to that question is very interesting. He said, "Yes, I am a king, but my kingdom is not of this world." And Pilate began to wonder. Finally thought that he was just another fanatic who had come along the way. But what Jesus was saying is that if you receive me as Savior and Lord, you now have a dual citizenship. You are first and foremost the kingdom of God, and then you are a citizen of the political world. Do we understand how brief life is in the earthly kingdom is? God's kingdom is very eternal. There is more to life, my friend, and you and I know it, than just a few years spent on this earth. Now, when we are young and we have all the years ahead of us, it is natural for us to hard to capture that. Here I've got probably 60 years ahead of me. And part of those I will be in my chosen profession or job. Why do I have to think about something beyond death? I'll take it as it comes, and I'll enjoy this world right here now. A few nights ago, I met at the University of Northern Iowa with about 50 young people. I imagine their average age was between 20 and 21. They have some grand and glorious careers planned for them. Now then, I come to say that there is a life beyond this life. Not in this particular case, because they were pretty much children of God, children of the kingdom, and knew what that meant. But it was to say that there is more. It's in spite of the fact that this life has to offer you so much, there is even more that God wants to give you. And as we begin to realize that and we get older, then it does begin to make a lot of sense. And we have our children. We raise them. In but a short time, they're out of the home and on their way to college or to the Army or the Navy or the Marines or the Air Force or wherever they're going, off to work. And soon you are a part of the empty nest crowd. And you say, where? Where in the world did all this time go? And then we live a few more years, and then we get restless. I'm not feeling as well as once I did. I don't have the capacity to do the work that once I did. And my little children who were around me and brought me so much joy have gone. They have spread to various parts of the world. There is a brevity of life. God's word says 70 years and 10, by reason of strength 80 years. But when it comes to the eternal kingdom, his kingdom, there shall be no end. And so the sooner that we can comprehend this, that we are pilgrims on this earth, strangers, we are on our way to a homeland. That is a marvelous thing. Why did Jesus Christ come? To not only give us a rich and abundant life while we live on this earth, but he came to give us an eternal home in heaven. What about this kingdom? How do I get into it? Well, by our natural birth, we become a member, a citizen of some nation. For the most of us who listen today, that probably is the United States of America. Others might have been born in other parts of the world. But when you came from the womb of your mother, you were a citizen, naturally born, automatically a citizen of that particular land. In order to be a part of the kingdom of God, Jesus taught very clearly, we must be born again, a second birth, a spiritual birth. He says no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born again. Those were the words that were first spoken to Nicodemus, but now are spoken to every person on this earth. So in other words, he sends out an invitation to all, but only those who by the grace of God will receive him as Savior and Lord become a part of the kingdom of God. And so he wants all to be saved, and that is why he is anxious in his time of grace here to cry out to us, come, I want to grant you the forgiveness of sins. I have atoned for your sin. I have made all preparation. There is a place for you in the kingdom of heaven. And you can enjoy it here with the assurance that it's yours, prepared, ready to move in whenever I come. And you can realize it when that day has finally come. Now then, a question you may also ask is, what is the relation between being a kingdom of this, being a citizen of this world and a citizen of the kingdom of God? Let me hurry on to say that our Lord Jesus Christ made it very clear that these earthly kingdoms are very important. It is important that we have government. It is government that is ordained of God. Read Romans 13 if you want to hear more about this. Jesus said it this way, you are to render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's and unto God the things that are God. So you have a dual citizenship, but seek ye first the kingdom of God. What he is saying is his kingdom has top priority. Now there is a real temptation for those of us who are a part of this political kingdom to say, well, this is good enough for me. Here is the material things, and here I can touch what I now possess. When you talk about a kingdom that is beyond life, I don't know what it means. And the only thing that Jesus can give you is this, as he depicts a glorious time that we'll have there, the kingdom for right now is within you. It is to know, to have faith, to know that you have a Savior who's right there walking with you through thick and thin, good and bad. There he is. That kingdom of mine has top priority. And I must not yield to the temptation of thinking that I can just live it out here and forget the past, forget the future. That is not possible. We must, during our time, the citizens of the kingdom of this earth, by God's grace and the power of his Holy Spirit, receive this Savior. Then what does it mean at the end? What will happen? At the end of this world, and this world has an end, our Lord Jesus Christ will come again. He is going to return. That's what we confess on the basis of what is found in the Word of God, that he shall come to judge the living and the dead. And then that hour can come before his second coming for individuals, where we'll close our eyes in death, and there we will see him, and then we'll have full realization of what it is to be a part of the kingdom of God. For at that particular time, the kingdom of God has taken over. There is no sorrow. There is no suffering. There is no death. But his second coming is not like the first one, where he was born in a manger. The second coming, every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And as the Word of God tells us in the book of Revelation, the kingdom of the world will have become the kingdom of our Lord, and his Christ shall reign forever and ever. And then those who began their journey in the kingdom of God while here on this earth, and that's any of you who trust Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, will have the full understanding of what the kingdom truly is, where there is no sorrow, where there is no suffering, where there is no death, where the people will be from all parts of the world. That is the kingdom of God. Why did Jesus come? To give us some good years on the kingdom here, both in the kingdom of God and in the political kingdom. But he came primarily to help us understand one day we will be in his kingdom forever. That affects our living while we're here on this earth. It affects our whole understanding of death. When my little kingdoms have collapsed here, when no longer can anybody do anything for me, then I go to my Father, and he says, come, my son, my daughter, into the kingdom. This is the first message I'd like to leave with you at Advent. We'll talk about three other major questions in the days which follow. Let the words of the Advent season grab you. May you understand that God's kingdom is a hope of the people in this world. And then all will be well. Amen. Will you pray with me? Lord Jesus, all we can say is thank you for coming. For we realize that Satan robbed us of a place in that kingdom. But then you, out of love, came in order that our sin might be taken away and it might be restored to us what our Heavenly Father so wanted us to have. Oh God, warm our hearts to that gospel in this Christmas season. May that message grab our hearts. We pray that it might be a time of revival in your kingdom, that we may be really serious about what the business of the church really amounts to. And then grant that from coast to coast in America and around the world, we may know the glory of that gospel. May it invade the hearts of those who lead us. Grant, O God, that they may be directed by your Spirit, and they may understand that the political kingdom with which they deal in our various state capitals and the nation's capital is tremendously important and calls for honest men and women. But grant also, Heavenly Father, that they may understand that even there, as important as our citizenship is in our land, and we pray for our land, that there is another kingdom that knows no end. May our hearts be prepared for it. Then hear us as together we pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and his precious love be and abide with us both now and forevermore. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. As we prepare to greet the Babe of Bethlehem, may your heart be filled with the expectation and jubilation of the promised Messiah. Christian Crusaders is a nonprofit ministry. We are supported by the financial gifts of those who have been helped and those who want to join with us in reaching others. We are especially grateful for our Gift Every Month GEM Club members. These regular gifts sustain our ministry during quiet giving times. For your convenience, we are now able to take credit card donations by phone or mail. Your support allows us to deliver biblical truths to those who cannot attend church. Cassette tapes, CDs, and printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. However, a gift of $2.50 will help to defray production and mailing costs. Address your request to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Our toll-free telephone number is 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, dial 277-0924. Today's service is also available to be read or heard anytime on the internet. Our website address is christiancrusaders.org. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, radio pastor of Christian Crusaders, now in its 72nd year of regular Sunday worship broadcasting.